I would say the vast majority of the time that I have something up here for you, it's something that God is doing in my life. And so as I learn and as I navigate that, and as I seek God and as I spend time in His Word, and He continues to hone me, it seems to be relevant to all of our lives. I think I'm human. I think my mom, I do have a birth certificate that my mom gave me, and so I know that I was born at least. I was not hatched. So I have a feeling, and I'm a man. I'm a man of God, striving to be a man of God or a person of God. So I just have this feeling that some of the situations that I face or some of the situations that you face and some of the journey that we're on together. And so we have been on this journey. I've been on this journey of learning relationships and just how to navigate relationships to the best of our ability. It seems like the vast majority of the Bible is how to have a relationship with God or with man. And if we read through the Scripture, we see it over and over and over. We know that the greatest commandment spoken by Jesus is to love God. And the second one is much like it, to love people. So there is a relational factor in this world, and the Bible, the vast majority of that points to how to have successful relationships. We are created for a relationship. When Adam was in the garden and God saw that it was not good for him to be the only human on the earth, He created another human. And He created another human so that they could create other humans. And so that's what, so we have this relationship that Adam had with God, but even at that, God saw that the way He had created Adam and with His intent, that it was for horizontal relationships as well. So as we navigate how to have these best relationships, we've been on this journey, or I've been on this journey, and I've kind of come along, you've come along, or I've drug you along, whatever, on this journey with me. And so I call this the relationship spiral, and it's not spiraling down, it's spiraling out. And so as I draw this in my little journal book or on my blotter or on index cards, which I have piled deep on my desk, and I draw this spiral, I said, God, I need to start with You. And as I would think about that, and we talked about that a few weeks ago, about our relationship with God, and how crucial that is, but it's also the most difficult thing that God will ever ask us to do is to love Him. Don't ever think that loving God is the easiest thing you'll do. I would argue that it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Because God expects and invites us to love Him with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, with all of what we are. And the more that a task costs me, the more that difficult it becomes. And we journeyed through some of that. And the passage in Luke is the one that we looked at in this relationship with God. Push the button, please. And here it is. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that was the answer to how I gain eternal life. And Jesus said, well, what does the Bible say? And this was what the Bible says. The guy had the right answer. He just had the wrong heart. And sometimes just let it be known that you can have the right answer and have the wrong heart. As I was singing the song this morning, that ever praise be upon my lips. I was convicted to see, God, how many times this week was your praise not on my lips? That what I was saying and what I was using, this ability to speak that you gave me, when I was using that for this week, was it praising you, God? He said, you want to have this relationship with God, you need to love God. That makes sense to me. It's a lot easier to answer that on Jeopardy than it is to live it out. But that's where we start in this relationship, a spiral, so to speak. And then we moved into this relationship with the next generation. The spiral starts to spiral out. Now that's going to do something. And we call it with our children, but it's the next generation. And we're all responsible, if we have children or not, we're all responsible for parts of the next generation. And that relationship that we have with the next generation is crucial to that generation. And how do we navigate that relationship with that generation? One of my, I think one of the coolest movies I ever seen was the movie Up. And it is a cartoon movie, and that movie is about an older guy that doesn't want anything to do with the young buck. But throughout the story, it becomes unfolded that the generations need each other. The generations bring something to the table for each other. Sometimes the older generation gets to be the old crotchety guys that won't reach into the next generation. We need to reach into the next generation. And our journey with them is crucial. And we talked about PS-139ing our kids or the next generation. Push the button, please. It says that we were God is active in your life, and we started to just unpack this and make sure our kids know that God is active in your life. He is active in your life. You may not see him right now, and you may not feel him right now, but you need to know that God is active in your life, and God will always guide you, and just really speaking it, living it alive in our lives, but also speaking it into the next generation. And so we talked about this spiral, this relationship with God and this relationship with the next generation or our kids. And then we moved into a relationship with our spouse. And as it begins to spin out, and this relationship with our spouse, and this relationship with God does something. It motivates us. It makes us. It helps us. And it empowers us to reach into the next generation and also into our spouse's life. The first horizontal relationship we see on this earth is Adam and Eve in a relationship of marriage. And how do we navigate, or how do we grow that relationship? And we went down through some of these points to grow that relationship, to breathe into that relationship all that we have. But if we're not loving God, I realize that we'll be breathing something other than God into this relationship. And just so we know, we just got to make sure we see the value of our spouse's thinking and working to build our marriage and set our hearts toward God and shake the dice now and again. And I thought about that, shake the dice now and again. Does it really matter? Just shake the dice, so to speak. Just choose. Don't argue. Don't argue over the finer points, over those small points of your marriage. Of things like, and we use these illustrations there, like mowing the lawn. What direction do you mow the lawn? For crying out loud, just make the grass shorter. Especially this year. But sometimes those small things in our relationships can get in there, and we can begin to build this argument back and forth on the small things. And as that relationship spiral continues, we continue to look at some of the relationships that we're in. And we have a relationship with a situation friend. We need situation friends in our life. We need friends that will show up and step in and speak out God's character into our life and speak in to our lives God's promises and stand up with us. We need these relationships. We need these friends, not just friends. We need situation friends. We have acquaintances many times, but we don't have a situation friend. We don't have a friend that will come in and fight with us and for us and stand together with us. And then last week we looked at this relationship with the world, and what do I look like? What should be my understanding of this world? How should I see this world? And the challenge is that we need to know these things. If 90%+ of the Bible is about relationships, and God wants us to have relationships and for a purpose, He wants us to have a relationship, and He has purpose behind those relationships. And He leaves us in this world. He reconciles us to God, and He leaves us, as we looked at last week, in a tent. Someday there's a home. Someday there's a penthouse. But today you live in a tent. So why? Well, how does He want me to see the world? What kind of relationship do I need with the world? What does God want my relationship with the world to be? Did you ever ask yourself that? Nah, God, why did you leave me here? When? That's not what I'm asking. God, how do you want me to see this world? You've left me here. Nothing's by mistake in your life. Nothing by mistake in your will. And you've left me here. How do you want me to see what I see? And we looked at statements that I believe that God wants us to see when with the love of Christ compels us to see people as God sees them, and we see Jesus as who he really is, we begin to see this world as God wants us to see this world. And then we ask the question to myself, and I ask it to you, do we see it as a place full of people that God wants to bring to himself? And do we see ourselves as the ones who have been given the heart to carry this message? I've often said, many of you, many of me as well, we wear many hats in our lives. But the reality is you wear them all at the same time. And so we're wearing all these hats at the same time. I don't get just to pull the hat off once in a while and be something else. I got two or three hats on at once. And so as we continue to navigate this relationships, and we're going to talk about in the weeks to come, what's my relationship with myself? How should I look at myself? And how do I understand myself? And then we're going to look at, oh, where's my relationship with the stuff around me, the stuff that God's given me? What's my relationship to the enemy? What's my relationship to those things, the people that do, the enemies of my life? We're going to look at those things, but I'm highly convicted that I need to come back every time around the spiral and talk about my relationship with God, because the horizontal relationships are never going to be what they need to be unless my relationship with God is on a continual basis growing. Because horizontal relationships are impossible without God. And so we visit, again, my relationship with God. Am I going to preach love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength again? No. But you don't have to look very far in the Bible to find something about having a relationship with God. Because that's what he wants. He wants us to have this amazing relationship with him. It is a consistent and real relationship with God that enables us to be successful in all other relationships. Are you with me this morning? It is a consistent and real relationship with God that enables us to be successful in all other relationships. If God is not thriving and you're not thriving in God, your relationships are suffering. And if your relationships are suffering in this world, the first thing you need to do is you need to run to God with everything you've got. Stop blaming the relationship. Stop blaming yourself and get on your knees and run back to God with everything that you have. Because when your relationship with God is thriving, the relationships in this world will be navigatable. Your marriage will suffer. Your friendships will suffer. Your relationship with your children and the next generation will suffer. Stop. Listen, New Lifers, stop burying our heads in the sand and trying to convince ourselves that our relationships are okay. If we're not walking with God, our relationships are not okay. And so I go back to God. In my life and in your life, I want us to run back to God. And I want to thrive in God. I want these relationships. I want my marriage, which next Sunday, 35 years. Woo-hoo. 25 of those I had something to do with. 10 are all on Cheryl. Because there was her unrelenting spirit in God while I was lost, that she would not throw in the towel on us relationship. I'm telling you right now, without God in her life, this relationship would have ended 25 years ago. It was her that walked over the mountain carrying our children through the woods. Only to bring me the message, we're not ending here. I did not have God. I was not thriving in God, and I didn't care. But God gave her the ability to care, and God gave her the drive to care. And the marriage suffered without God. And with God, the last 25 years, with God, this marriage now is thriving, not just surviving. Our relationships, when we're in Christ and we're in this relationship with God, will thrive. Will they be easy? They're not easy. No relationship is easy. It's kind of like driving a school bus. It's fine until the kids get on. But this relationship with God needs to be thriving in our life. And so we go back in this spiral and we say, God, what do you want? How do I grow this relationship with you? In John 15, we're not going there, so don't turn, but just let me read this to you. You are already clean because of the word I spoke to you. You're already clean because of the word I spoke to you. You're already in this beginning relationship with me, God says. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You want to start bearing fruit? Get back with Jesus, or thrive with Jesus. Don't even get back. Just grow with him. Just move with God in your life. I want to turn for just for a few hours this morning. Yeah, the Bills and the Steelers have the same record, so none of us need to get out of here. We all gonna cry together. Tears in my beer, right? Isn't that one of the country western songs? Oh, I'm not supposed to know that either. I don't know. Anyway, Psalm 37 is where I want to go, and to grow this relationship with God. What does this relationship look like? This relationship with God that I'm loving with my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now I want to move to Psalm 37 just for a few minutes this morning. And it says this: do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. And the threat is here is fretting. And you know what fretting means? Is to heat oneself up with frustration, to become hot. Have you ever become hot? Have you ever felt that come up, become hot? That was what the Bible refers to as fretting. Now, there might be different reasons. It might be frustration, or it might be anger. It might, but your boiling point is going through the roof. You can feel yourself getting warm. The Bible says there is a threat of that in your life. You have a fret ability. You can fret. But I'm telling you right now, God says that's not where you need to go. If you begin to look only horizontally, and the things of this world are driving you crazy, and the injustices of this world are driving you crazy, making you mad, being frustrated, be careful that it does not push you through the fret roof. Because I have fretted before in my life, and I have come out of the top with fret in my life, and I don't hope to ever do that again, and I'm not proud of those moments when that took place in my life. All right, here we go. So don't fret. So what do I do? Verse 3 says this: trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Trust in God. I want you to trust in God. I want this relationship with me. Listen, can I just say it again? God is inviting you and me to trust in him. He's telling us you can fret. You have the ability to fret. You have the ability to get heated. You have the ability to be angry. You have that ability. I've given you that ability too, God said. But I'm asking right now, God says, I'm also giving you the ability to trust me. And I want this relationship that I have with you to be a trusting relationship. If I might say, I think God is saying, I trust you. I trust you. Will you trust me? Trust me. trust me simply means to stand on God in such a fashion that if he lets go, you will fall on the ground. At this moment, I am trusting this chair. I don't have my foot on another chair. I don't have one of my feet on the ground. I'm not hanging onto a rope. I'm not next to a wall where I can steady myself. I am trusting in this chair. I have the ability, New Life, I have the ability to trust in one thing. I'm trusting in this chair. God says, I give you that ability. I give you the ability to trust. And I want you to trust me. I want you to lean so much on me that if I did let go of you, which I won't, but if I did, you will fall over. Lean so heavily on me that you are not leaning on anything else. That's trust. He said, I'm inviting you to trust in me, to lean on me, to get rid of the other chairs of your life, to get rid of the other things you're trying to trust in. They will let you down. The only thing that will not let you down is me. Trust in me. I make this statement over and over and over. Not sure if all the hows will be answered today, but no, we can trust in God. Let's just start there. You can trust in the Lord. Before we start asking how, just let's praise God for the ability just to trust in him. He's given us the ability to trust in him, and I want to thank him. God, I don't know how I'm going to do that right now. I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't know about this situation. I don't know about that situation, but I just want to thank you today that you give me the ability to trust in you. I'll work on how to do that in this relationship with you, God. That'll come about, but I'm going to start with the truth that I can trust in you, God. I'm not going to work toward that and see if, God, you'll prove yourself worthy to be trusted in. I'm trusting in you. I'm standing on the chair. Now teach me, God. Trust in the Lord. Trust. We can trust the Redeemer for redemption. I had a whole list of these, and again, I can put these on Facebook later on. The Redeemer for redemption. You can trust the Provider for provision. You can trust the Healer for healing. You can trust the Lawgiver for a life-giving instruction. You can trust the Guider for day in and day out guidance. You can trust him for that. The problem is we're stepping on multiple chairs and we're trusting different things. God said, I want to grow this relationship with you and me, but you've got to trust me. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, enjoy safe pasture. A trust in the Redeemer, the Provider, the Healer, the Lawgiver, the Guider will be evident in our lives. An internal trust in God will produce an external expression. Push the button, please. An internal trust in God. Read the yellow. Internal trust in God will produce an external expression. God says, when you start trusting in me, when you trust in me, it's going to do something in your life. And do good. Just let me do it. He said, just let me prove that you can trust me. Am I making sense this morning? An internal trust. Just so you know, I should not have to tell you that I'm trusting God. You should see it. God says, I'll prove to you first and then to this world perhaps that you are trusting in me. Trust in the Lord with all and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. This trust in God town is a place where we are invited to live. This trust in God town is a place where we are invited to live. It is a dwelling place, not a drive-through on occasion place. See, you know what my trouble is? I don't stop and dwell in trusting God. I drive through trusting God. And God says, it's a dwelling place. I want you to live in trusting me. I want you to live in trusting me. Trust in the Lord. Just so you know, this is an invitation from God. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Trust in the Lord. Verse 4 says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Immerse yourself in God. Find your, and I found it interesting that the word says, find your pampering in God. And I've heard the word, and I probably even used the word, pamper yourself once in a while. You know what? That's not truth. God will do the pampering. Get in God. Trust God. Pampered by God. God says, I will pamper you. Immerse yourself in me, and you will find satisfaction in me. Not sure again if all the hows will be answered today, but no, we can delight in the Lord. We can delight in God. We can immerse ourselves in God. We find deep satisfaction. We can find deep satisfaction in the Redeemer, the Provider, the Healer, the Lawgiver, and the Guider. Read the yellow again. Perhaps too often we endeavor to find delight in the supply rather than the supplier. And God says, it's never been meant that you would find delight in the supply. Because I'm not just flipping you a $10 bill once in a while. I'm in your life. Find delight in me. Don't find delight in the stuff. Find the delight in the stuff giver. That's what he's saying. Redemption is not meant to replace the Redeemer. Are you with me this morning? Redemption was never meant to replace the Redeemer. The provision is never meant to replace the Provider. The healing is not meant to replace the Healer. The life-giving instruction is not meant to replace the Lawgiver. The guidance is not meant to replace the Guider. Delight yourself in God. Psalm 43 says this, send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Look at the psalmist say, let them guide me. Let them do what? Bring me to your holy mountain, to a place where you dwell, God. Let them bring me to you, God. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And he will give you the desires of your heart because our heart is now beating in tune with God's heart. We will ask for what God wants to give us in our lives. Hang with me. I'm almost done. I had a guy show up one time years ago. He said, the Bible's false and God's not real. Because the Bible says that God will give me the desires of my heart, and he's not doing that. That was his words. I'm quoting him word for word. And I said, where does it say that? And the very first time in my life, I remember him taking me to this passage. He said, it says right here that God will give me the desires of my heart. I said, well, if God said it, let's just read the whole verse and just see. I don't know. I said, it says here, if you delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. So I guess I need to ask you the question, are you delighting yourself in God? He shut the Bible. He went out of the room. He went out of the building. He got in his car, and I have never seen him since. When we're delighting ourselves in God and we're immersed in God, and all of a sudden he starts to change our hearts. And we start asking, let me say it this way. I think you're going to ask him for way more things than what you're asking for him now. only it's the things that he wants to pour in your life. You think God is a stocking only filler in your life. He is a gift giver. We ask for redemption or freedom that the Redeemer has for us. We begin to ask for the provision that the Provider has for us. We begin to ask for the healing that the Healer has for us. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, and I shared it with the men's group, and I'll probably keep most of it there. But I know in a service I was at in this week, God said, go ask. I said, ask for what? And he said, I'm not telling you, but go to this person and ask, because it's coming through him. It's me, but it's coming through him. And I began to go there and navigate myself there and had to wait in line. And I had to wait, and I started to talk myself out of it. This is crazy, God. This is crazy, God. I'm not going to do this, God. This is crazy. There are 15 people ahead of me. I got to wait. This service is coming to an end. And all of a sudden, I got there, and he began to pray for me. And he said, what do you want me to pray for you for? And I said, I don't know. God told me you would know. And he began to pray for me, and my hand began to shake, and my arm began to shake. I learned a very valuable thing there. I stopped it from shaking. And God says, you can do that if you want. I'm not forcing anything on you. And the only reason I'm making your arm shake is just so you can know that you can stop it if you want. I said, because God, in my theology, arms don't shake, legs don't shake. He said, it does now. When we delight ourselves in God, I need to make this point. When we delight ourselves in God, he starts to pour stuff into us and pour himself into us, it's going to alter our lives. Delight yourself in God. Trust in God. This relationship with God needs to have a trust factor, needs to have a delight factor. Verse 5 says this, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. Commit. And I love the way we can translate commit, to roll with. Roll with God. God says, I'm asking you to roll with me. Can we just roll with me? And God, I want to roll with God. I want to roll with God. But the problem is I try to roll with God without trusting him. And I try to roll with God without delighting in him. And all of a sudden I'm rolling, but I'm not rolling with God because I don't trust God's driving. As a matter of fact, I don't even like his driving. But I want to go with him. God says, how are you going to do that, you nut? How are you going to do that? You don't trust my driving. And you don't like being in the car with me. But you want to go where I'm going? You can't roll with me unless you trust me. You can't roll with me unless you delight in me. Then we can roll together. I want to roll with God. I don't know. Not sure if all the hows will be answered today, but no, you can, we can roll with God. How about the God of the universe, the God who spoke creation into existence, is inviting you into his wheels.
Come on now.
You can go with me. I wonder if the challenge we may face is that we try to roll with God and we do not trust in him or delight in him. Verse 6, and he will make the righteousness shine like the noon, like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. When we roll with God, he will reveal a change in us that is different as dark and light. And I wrote this on my own blotter. God will take care of your reputation. Verse 7, which is the final verse. The next thing God's asking you to do is just be still before the Lord. You know what the word be still means? Roll the slide. To be dumb, to quiet oneself, to be silent, to stop, to perish, to rest. In other words, shut your mouth. When you're in a conversation with God, just so you know, you're not the smartest one in the conversation. I know that might come to a surprise to me and to some of you, but you're just not the smartest one. And God says, you know what? I'm never going to be able to tell you anything if you don't shut up. I know you're trusting in me. You know what else I know? That when I roll with God, he tells us where we're going. If I'll shut up long enough to hear him. Because you know what else I know? That word can be translated to be astonished. It's the only one that doesn't mean quiet yourself, be dumb before God, whatever. It's the only translation of that word that can say, you know what? Be astonished before God. Trust me. Delight in me. Roll with me. Be still and be astonished before me. Watch what I can do in your life. As we continue on this relationship spiral, not spiraling down, spiraling out. We are going to hit several more relationships on this plane, and expectantly, we're going to hit a couple more on this plane. God is inviting us to trust him. Not sure if all the hows will be answered today, but no, we can be still before the Lord. Last slide. We can trust, delight, roll with, and be still before God. If these relationships are going anywhere, that's a must. Stand with me today. God, thank you. God, thank you for the many relationships that we have, that I have. Thank you for relationships with parents, and thank you for relationships with spouses, and thank you for relationships with the next generation, with my own daughters and my granddaughters. Thank you for relationships with friends, and really, I have situation friends. I know it. They have been there in my situation. They have been there and they have breathed into me. There are men in this room that are situation friends. And I know that they are situation friends, and I know the only way they can be and I can be and we can be these relationships that you want us to be is to have this relationship with you. And Father, it is a loving relationship with everything that we have, and it's also a trusting relationship. God, it's also a delighting relationship, or it's just finding satisfaction in you, God. It's also this rolling with you, God. We're not in the dugout. We're on the field, and we roll with you, and then you tell us, and you speak to us, and you navigate us as we are still before you. And Father, I think that we are astonished by you. And so, Father, help us to continue to grow this relationship with you. As we trust in you, God. I believe those words, God, that I'm surrounded by you. I got God on my right, I got God on my left, I got God in me, I got God on my front, I got God on my back. much that that's even true in my life, that I'm going to fight my battles by trusting in you. I'm going to fight my battles by finding my purpose, my delight in you. I'm going to fight my battles. I'm going to live this life rolling with you. And I'm going to fight my battles. I'm going to live this life by listening to you, by being astonished by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day.